Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Cool, so we've had an amazing weekend at Lampley this weekend. There was 12 of us, all students, went to the house. We had an amazing time, fun-wise, by making things in the snow and chilling out and watching movies. We had amazing food, but equally we had an amazing time with Jesus. He really showed up. Worship was awesome. We had Rob and Dan having their little acoustic set, and it really made a huge difference, actually. It was amazing just to see these guys lead worship and really to help us go into something new, to go somewhere different that we haven't been with Jesus before. So that was really fun. That was really fantastic. God brought some good words, and we spent the whole weekend in Hebrews 6, and we're actually going to go there today, and we're going to finish off a little bit with these guys of what we were doing, and, you know, I pray it'll be relevant to you guys as well. I just want to pray, and Father, I just thank you that you have your way this morning, that is completely your way. Holy Spirit, you completely take over and you do what you want, that nothing else can be a distraction, nothing else can get in the way. And Father, I thank you that it is your word going forth. It is your word that is going to impart, that is going to impact, that is going to empower people this morning. I thank you for your truth, and I thank you that it resides within us. Amen. So, last night I was praying, and I was really, really tired, and I asked God to give me a word for this morning. But I was really tired after the weekend, and I was like, God, I really can't stay up and pray. I'll get up in the morning and pray. But I was like, can you speak to me when I sleep? Because, you know, sometimes I do that a lot, actually. If I have something, I'm like, God, can you just speak to me when I'm sleeping? And I'll wake up with scriptures. I'll wake up with things that I've been thinking of in the night, and I'm like, wow, yeah, that's awesome. And it's always stuff I can really get hold of. This morning when I woke up, I realised I'd spent the whole night dreaming about Ratatouille. I was like, okay, God, I'm not really focused, I'm not really sure what you're trying to say. But I'm talking about the film Ratatouille, with the little mouse and the man who becomes a chef. And actually, in worship, he's strangely enough, he's managed to put it together. So we're going to talk about Ratatouille this morning. But just to give you a brief outline, the last 48 hours, God has done stuff in our lives, and in my life included. And basically, we started with the end of Hebrews 5, and we went into Hebrews 6. And so the first session was really about, it says in chapter 6, verse 3, so by God's grace, we will move you on in your understanding of his purposes. So that was our yesterday morning. God was really giving us revelation and moving us on in our understanding of what he has for us and how we're going to grow. And it was all about maturing and growing. And then he took us through more of chapter 6 in the afternoon. And he laid out actually how we're going to do that. So verse 7, it says about producing good crops. And actually that was, you know, if we're going to grow on in our understanding of his purposes for us, we've got to be seeing fruit. We've got to be making disciples. We've got to be filling that commission. Verse 9, he talks about not denying the truth. So that's another way to stay in growing in him. We won't deny the truth. And then it carries on to say, we'll remain steadfast in your faith and live in the good of your salvation. So these were the things he was showing us. And again, verse 11, it says, we urge every one of you to continue in this faithfulness to the very end. Okay, so, and lastly, at the end of verse 12, it says, to persevere patiently in their faith. So these were the pointers God had given us, that if we want to grow in our understanding of his purposes that he has for us, they were the key points of how we're going to do that, how we're going to maintain growing, how we're going to keep maturing in our walk with Jesus. And so I want to finish the rest of the chapter. So I'm going to read from verse 16. No, not. I'm going to read from verse 17. And it says, "Why should God make his purposes on oath? Because he wanted to make absolutely clear that his purposes never change. It is clear to all his children that he is faithful in keeping his word, because he confirmed his promises by taking an oath. He chose to do this for our sakes, so that we would know for certain that God would never lie and that his promises are utterly dependable. It is simple, not possible. It is simply not possible for God to lie, because he is the truth. We have left behind the deceptiveness of the world and have taken hold of the sure and certain hope of what lies ahead. And this should cause us to be greatly encouraged. This hope of what awaits us in the future is a firm anchor for our souls. This truth keeps us secure and means that we have access directly into the Holy of Holies, God's very presence. We can pass through the curtain that was torn apart when Jesus went before us through death and into the glory of resurrection. He did all this on our behalf as our high priest and eternal high priest in the line of Melchizedek." So this morning, what really grabbed me out of this was where he says doesn't give you specific verse numbers in the truth, but it goes from, "And this should cause us to be greatly encouraged. This hope of what awaits us in the future is a firm anchor for our souls." Yeah. And so I looked up the word anchor in the Greek, and it says that it's a safeguard. Okay? It's looking at it being a safeguard in our lives. And so then when I thought about ratatouille, here we go. Stay with me on this morning, by the way. It's going to be interesting. So ratatouille, there's a chef, the weedy man, yeah? And obviously the rat. But the man, if you remember the film, at the beginning, like, he's all over the place. He looks a mess. And he's riding his bike all over the place. He's just totally all over the place, yeah? And he gets this job in the restaurant. And makes me laugh so much. And the little rat. Basically, they find the rat in the kitchen, and his boss says, "Get rid of the rat." So he goes to get rid of the rat, but he cannot drown the rat because the rat is far too cute. And so he saves the rat. Keep going. He saves the rat, and he takes the rat with him. And so anyway, there's this man. I can't remember his name. No. But there's the boy and the rat, okay? And he learns very quickly that this rat is actually amazing, and he's an amazing chef, and he knows everything about cooking. He knows what spices go with what. He knows what will taste good and how to make things. And so they devise this plan. Cutting a long story short, they devise this plan of actually, the rat's going to help this boy cook, yeah? And so they try all these different things on how the rat can communicate with the boy when they're in the restaurant, because obviously the rat can't be seen. And what they do is this rat ends up sitting on the boy's head, okay? So there's this little rat. And he ends up pulling his hair to, like, get him to move different parts of his body, okay? I know we're getting there. There is a point to this. And so this hat's hidden under the chef's hat. This rat even is hidden under his hat. And he's guiding him. He's telling him exactly, like, what to pick up and what to move and what to do. And I was like, you know what? When this happened, this boy came totally alive in the film. He started to not look so grungy and horrible and dirty. You know, things started to fall into place. He got a girl, you know, he got a girlfriend in the movie. He became manager of this restaurant. Things started to happen for him because he had this safeguard, which was the rat. You know, I know that was a long way of getting there, but it was fun. And he had a safeguard of a rat, which sounds really bizarre, but actually, do we have a safeguard of the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit in us saying, go this way, go that way, do this, do that, say this, act like this? You know, is that in us? Because that's what I've got from this firm anchor for our souls. that's what's come out of it for me, is that actually, am I living? Pastor Paul said something a few weeks ago, maybe longer, I'm not sure. But he just said one thing. He said, are you living for a cause? And that has stuck with me since he said that. And I was like, you know what? Am I living for a cause? And that's really the heart and the question I want to say today. Are you living for a cause? What is the cause you are living for? You know, and for you guys, students, sorry, like to round up like this weekend for you guys as well. Like in 48 hours, God has matured you and grown you. In 48 hours, he's developed something in you. And so now, when you wake up in the morning, are you waking up saying, okay, God, this is your day. What can I do for you? Okay, God, you are in me. Holy Spirit, what are you going to stir in me today? What is it that you want me to do? Yeah, this is the maturity. This is the maturing in Christ. This is the growing up and the living in fuller understanding of the purposes he has for you. This is the real relationship. You know, for weeks, Pastor Paul's been saying about relationship, basically. It always comes back to it. And actually, this is the crunch. Like, is that safeguard in us? Are we waking up saying, yes, I want this, I want this? You know, God, what are you wanting? What are you doing? Or are we not? Are we waking up and saying, okay, I want to get out of bed today because I'm going to meet someone for coffee today, and you know, that's going to make my day? And that sounds really harsh, but is that what we're waking up and being excited about doing? Or are we waking up and being excited because Jesus is in us, and you know there's going to be something, if you ask, that he'll say, okay, you do that today. You know, you speak to that one person, you give that one person a smile because they are feeling so lonely, but oh my word, it's going to change their day. You know, that's, what are we living for? Are we living for that cause? Are we living for Jesus? We sung so much this morning, you know, that we're living for him, that we're, you know, he's our everything. We want to give everything to him. We're living for him. Are we? Do we have that seriously, like, when God gives me something, there is a burning in me, and I'm like, man, if I don't get it out, I'm puking it out, to be blunt. You know, there is that in me, and I'm like, actually, are we living that? Are we allowing it? Are we allowing God room in our lives to actually have that in us? You know, we can get completely, oh, today I've got this and this and this and this, and oh, I might fit some prayer in, but you know, if I don't, it doesn't matter. Actually, are we giving him room to move? Because that's what we need to do. And even, you know, every day God wants to give us more and more and more and more and more. So we need to give room for that more and more and more and more and more to come in. Yeah? And like, guys, like, when you come to see you, when you come to a prayer meeting, this for everyone as well, like, are we coming with a, God, what do you want me to bring? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to contribute? You know, every day he has something for us to give and contribute. Are we waking up and saying, okay, what's my contribution today? How am I gonna aid, grow, develop the kingdom of God today? You know, what is my bit today? Because every day there's something. And like I said, even if it's a smile to someone who's feeling so lonely, which you won't know they're feeling so lonely, but God will know. And you might think, well, God, you asked me just to say hello, you asked me just to smile, whatever. And you know, but actually don't ignore that, don't belittle that, because if you're faithful in the little things, he gives you more, because he knows that he can trust you. We spoke yesterday about, and one of the things about in Hebrews 6, about maintaining our understanding and growing with Jesus was faithfulness. And again, Pastor Paul said, he brought the analogy, you know, about actually marriage. When you're with Jesus, you know, it's like you're at the front of the church and you're actually getting married and you're saying, yeah, I will, I do. And when it comes to faithfulness, even even in friendships, even in, you know, yes, in married life, but even in friendships, even in everything, you don't, you know, if you make a commitment to your friend and say, you know, if I say, oh, Katrina, I'm going to meet you for coffee tomorrow, I'm going to meet her. I'm not going to blow her off because I can't be bothered, or it's raining, or, oh, I'm not feeling so hot, or I'm a bit lazy. I'm going to keep my commitment. And it's the same with Jesus. You know, if I say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to spend time with you, I'm not going to blow him off. He's my friend. I'm going to keep that commitment. I'm going to keep that faithfulness. You know, it's faithfulness. Sometimes we think in a marriage, it's all in a marriage setting, and it's all about the husband and the wife being faithful to each other and not, you know, having other relationships. But it's not always like that. You can think of it in a friendship way as well. You know, you wouldn't not meet your friend because you couldn't be bothered. You wouldn't. So what I'm trying to say is, I know it sounds harsh, but don't blow Jesus off because you can't be bothered. You know, are you living with this cause inside of you? Are you living with this, yeah, what can I bring? What can I contribute? You know, when you, I don't even know where I am. When you, this is great, isn't it? You know, when you come to church, even, are you coming? Have you, I don't want to sound, hear my heart in this, please. But, you know, and I'm speaking to myself as well, like, are we coming together with a, okay, God, I'm at church. Yeah, I want to meet with you. Yeah, I'm here to worship you. What can I contribute while I'm here? What can I bring while I'm here? How can I, you know, or are we coming with a, okay, yeah, I get to see my friends today. That's really cool. Yeah, I've got a dinner date afterwards. Woohoo, you know? You know, and guys, like, we give lunch every week, you know. Do you come with a expectancy in you for, yeah, God, what have you got for me, but what can I bring? What can I give to you? What can I bring to others? Or do you come for the lunch and the social afterwards, you know? Like, that's, I mean, this is speaking completely to me, and it's a really hard reality and question, really. But actually, that are we living for a cause has really stuck in, and it's really like, okay, God, what are you? You know, every morning I want to wake up and I don't want to wake up with, oh, I've got to do this today, or, oh, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't want to wake up and think, yeah, I'm meeting Katrina for coffee today. Yeah, that'll fill my day. That'll, you know, excite me. I want to wake up with the, yeah, Jesus, you're in me. Yeah, Jesus, what can I do for you and you alone, regardless of anything else? So, yeah, Ratatouille. He's so cute. But he did, this boy came alive and everything dropped into place. Absolutely everything. You know, he ran a business. He was a boy that only got the job at this restaurant because his, I'm going to say relative because I'm not sure which one it was, his relative wrote a letter and basically blackmailed the owner and said, you've got to give this boy a job, because actually the boy was in ownership of the restaurant. But you don't find that out till the end. So this boy, like, he was told to mop the floors, he was told to take out the trash at the beginning. And then because of this safeguard in him, because of this rat, not in him, on his head, he was a high-flying chef. Like, the hardest critic of all the restaurants came to critique his food. And they loved what he cooked, what the boy cooked with the rat, not what the boss cooked. And the boss was like, no, 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 don't let him cook. And then he thought, oh, okay, let him do it because it'll be funny. And, you know, the critique man won't like it. But actually, he loved it. This boy went from taking out garbage to having everything he could possibly want because he had a safeguard, because he had a rat that he could depend on, and a rat that told him what to do, where to move. And he listened to the rat because he knew absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing about cooking. And he just let the rat do it, and he trusted him. And it's the same with us, with God. The Holy Spirit is your safeguard in you. I know absolutely nothing. I can't, you know, without him saying, do this, do that, go this way, our lives would be completely, I don't know how that would be, I wouldn't like to think. My life wouldn't, I don't know. If I didn't have the Holy Spirit in me, my life wouldn't be here in Scarborough. But it is. Because you're listening, because we're being obedient, because we're going the way he guides us. And to be a little bit biblical, you know, it's good to do that. You know, Matthew 6, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all shall be added. Actually, let's find it. That would be good, wouldn't it? So Matthew 6. Oh, well. Making a lovely mess down here. All the papers are flying everywhere. It's great. Thanks, Nigel. Thank you. That's very kind. Cool. So therefore, do not worry by saying, what shall we eat, or what have we to drink, or what can we wear? The pagans are concerned about such things, but your heavenly Father is well aware of everything you need. Let the kingdom of heaven, living in a right relationship with God, be your priorities. Then everything else you need will be given to you as well. So do not worry about what will happen tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about itself. You have enough to think about today, and that is true for every day. Actually, I wasn't even going for that last line. But actually, you have enough to think about today. We really do. If we're seeking first him and not concerned about anything else, we really do have enough to worry about every single day. And that's it, no more. Because every day we're waking up because we have that safeguard of the Holy Spirit in us, and we're getting excited and we're saying, yeah, what can we contribute today? Yeah, what can I bring today? Yeah, what do you want me to do, Jesus? Who do you want me to say hello to? You know? And that's enough. That's more than enough for one day. If we're saying constantly, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to chat to take a cup of coffee to? Who do you want me to approach? You know, what do you want me to do? So we have enough to worry about today, to not to worry about any other day. That's really good. That's really freeing. It's really liberating. It's really, man, don't even need to think about tomorrow. Absolutely not. I could have freaked out this morning. We have a missions night tomorrow night with students. I completely got everything wrong. Didn't organise properly with Richard and Joyce there. And completely got my dates muddled. So actually now, nothing to do tomorrow night whatsoever. But we're not freaking out. We're not worrying. Because tomorrow is another day. And Jesus will bring the right people. And Jesus will give us something to do and something to say. And he'll show us what to teach. Yeah? One day at a time, guys. But every day, listening to that safeguard in you, listening to the rat, if you like, on your head. You don't have rats on your head. But saying, what can I bring? What can I do? What can I contribute? You know, seek first his kingdom. Let him be your priority. And everything else will be given. Absolutely everything. Now, during worship, something else came into me, and I was like, ah, that would be fun. So I haven't asked anyone or pre-warned anyone because, yeah, I didn't know. But it'd be really, really cool. It'd be more than cool, actually. To have Steve and Claire play something. That would be great. But equally, to have the guys that gave their testimony come back. And I want to see them pray. I want to see them pray for you guys. There was something, there was a maturity this weekend. There was a maturing in their relationship with Jesus. There was a revelation of understanding their purposes in Jesus this weekend. They got something because they stood here and testified about it. Yeah, so they definitely receive something. And actually, I want to see that. You know, if anything, I don't know if you want prayer for anything, basically, but if anything that's been said this morning, anything in the worship that came up that's really hit you, actually, I want these guys to come and to pray for you. Because they've really, you know, they did get something. I'm saying something, that's not very specific. But they did. There was a release in them. Yeah? So, guys, do you want to come, all of you who gave a testimony?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire. We'll be right back.